Be careful what you say when you don't have the last word. That's okay, beginner's mistakes. As you can see, the team had quite a time together and working with our kids, and looks like they had fun, but that's just the face they put on the outside. If you saw how our kids came up to sing their songs and to just to be acknowledged, that's about how your kids are when they come up to our village. They're like, yeah, really? Go out there? And I think Jesse, and all you know Jesse, and you know how outward he is, but try to get him to go on the local radio station. Very nervous, very nervous. And so for these kids to come up to our village and to work among a different culture where they do a lot of different things and where everybody is watching them, whether they know it or not, it's really nervous. And when you think that you are representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, how adequate are you to fulfill those shoes? So, yeah, it was really tough. Even though these kids have been up there, some of them for two or three times, it's still tough to come and to still serve God. And, of course, we also have a great adversary that wants to trip us up and give us a spirit of fear. And I know all you older Christians who've been in the Lord for a long time, you've forgotten what fear is like. But it is fearful to go into an area, and especially when you see Satan fighting so hard to keep these people out. And it just goes to show to me that just as God parted the Red Sea for Moses and his people, so God has parted the Red Sea for us in a lot of ways of bringing these kids in and working with the youth there. And I'll tell you what, these kids don't forget who these teenagers were that came and visit them. And all through the year, as we're working with the kids, they're always asking us if so-and-so is going to come back, if so-and-so is going to come back, and does Jesse have to come back? And you didn't know, but we also have the prime minister that goes up there too and works with these kids as well. And you'll have to find out who he is. Told you I'd get the last word. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, but we're going to be there for a little bit. We'll move on. But as we look at God, it's His plan. It's His work. And sometimes we either work with God or we kind of get in God's way. And I think for the most part, we do get in God's way. And we kind of try and do things on our own strength and try to do things that we think are right and that really aren't. And that's one thing about the VBS. And every year I challenge the VBS team, is this where God wants you to be? Is this what God wants you to be doing? And just because God's doing work in Coogee Arpik doesn't mean that God isn't doing work in South Porcupine. And we need to be open to where God wants us to be and make sure this is where God wants us to be. And that's one of the things that I stress on Wally, and Wally stresses that on the kids that come out, that this be the place where God wants you to be. And so this morning I would like to take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll start at verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day, and notice that word day is capitalized, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work for what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive reward. If anyone's work is burnt, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Let's just pause for prayer. Lord, we are truly humbled at your magnificence and what you can do and how you can perform. And yet, Lord, you choose to use broken vessels to do your work. And so, Lord, this morning as you come and spend time with us, and as we, in return, give you honor and praise for who you are, may you speak to us and teach us what you have for us to learn, and help us to be the disciples that will walk in your path and be your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul talks to the Corinthians, and if you're familiar with Corinthians, you know that the Corinthian church was far from being a perfect church. But when you look at the Corinthian church and all its faults, we do see our churches in the Corinthian church as well. And Paul has just got finished talking about how Apollos is the pastor of the church. And yes, Paul was the one that built the church or started the church. But it takes all sorts of different kinds of people to keep a church going, and not one over the other. Even though Paul, we might say, was the founder, but he was not the continuer that Apollos was. And there was a division. I'm glad you have two rows and not just one row because you don't have sides. But there was a division. You had the Paul, pro-Paul on this side and the pro-Apollos on the other side, and that was already causing a split in the church. And when I look at this missions trip, one of the great things I see on this mission trip, and I think for some of you it may be amazing, but the number of people that have come together, not for the sake of the brethren, not for the sake of the Pentecostals, not for the sake of any other denomination, but for the sake of Christ. And when I talk about what this group is doing in Coots Harbor to my churches that I go to, they are truly amazed that different denominations can agree to work together. And you know what that tells me? There's a lot of people out there that don't go to church that see the same thing. In our community, as I told the kids, we live in a fishbowl. Everyone can see what we're doing. Everybody knows what we're doing. And even if I have a problem with another brother in Christ, they know that. Whether I know they know it or not, I think it's just between him and I. But they know it. And I was surprised to find out that they know it. There's nothing secret to the world out there. And they are watching for everything that we do. In our village, they're watching for everything that we do to see where we're going to trip up. And you know, we're familiar with the verse, how Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he devour. Well, yeah, the people out there too. Ah, he's a Christian. Calls himself a Christian. Let's wait and see what happens when he messes up. And when he messes up, we'll get to bounce on him. Well, we are Christians, but we aren't perfect, and we do mess up. And I think God uses the mess up better than he does the perfection that we show. And when we do mess up, and they see how we react, and how we do ask for forgiveness, and how we are truly sorry for what we've done, that speaks volumes to people. So when I go down and I share about what this team is doing and how they come up there and how there is no Pentecostals against the brethren, we joke about it and we have a lot of fun about it, but nobody ever holds that seriously. Because when it comes to heaven, we're not going to have divisions. There aren't going to be no denominations in heaven. The one place you can truly say non-denominational. And my churches, when they hear this, that inspires them. Yeah. Since when do we think that we're right and they're wrong? And there's nothing wrong with different churches worshiping God in different ways. And you know from your friends, you don't treat all your friends the same way. And there's no way we can keep everybody, shall we say, equal. For example, I have my wife. And unfortunately for the rest of you people, I love my wife more than I love you guys. And maybe you are glad because then you don't have to live with me. Joe just turned on his hearing aid. But we do care. And I mean, you look at your family. Of course, you're going to spend more time and more effort and more money on your kids than you are for your neighbor's kids or for our kids in Coosier Arctic. But we are built that way. We are, as a common phrase say, we are wired that way. But it takes a special kind of love to go out and to work with people who are not our people. It takes a special kind of love to walk up to someone who is not like us, who does not think like us, who does not talk like us, who doesn't act like us. In fact, they act kind of weird. Jesus, when he came to this earth, he picked out 12 men. And if I were to give you the 12 most likely candidates to not do well in a corporation, you saw them there in the 12 disciples. These were not the people that had status. These were not the people that could win friends and bring in a lot of money into the project. These were not go-getters. And you saw how those disciples sort of stumbled around behind him. And we kind of looked down the disciples. Paul, why'd you have such a big mouth? You know, Thomas, how could you be so doubtful after you saw everything that Jesus did? Judas, how could you betray Jesus? How could you just turn them in? Careful where you point your finger. Because if you look at those disciples, you'll see yourself and those disciples as well. And then you look at, we'll go back to Peter. When he denied Jesus, what did he do next? Besides run away, he went back to fishing. Didn't Jesus call you away from that? Didn't you drop your nets and follow him? Did you not see all the miracles that Jesus did? Did you not know the promises? And I think of Martha and Mary, and they knew that Jesus was going to come back to life. They were not. And yet they didn't follow around Jesus a lot. And even the Pharisees knew that Jesus was going to come back to life, and that's why he put the guards out there. But the disciples never saw it. Don't be so condemning of the disciples, because sometimes we get blinded by what we think should happen and what does happen, and then we become, quote, surprised. Back to our text. We had your teens come up and work with us. And as I looked at these teenagers, I said, this is something special that they can give up a week of their time, and not just a week because there was a lot of preparation before that, but a week of their time to come up to our sunny, nice, beachy, sandy resort village of Coosier Arctic, where the temperature just about got into double digits. So nice, cool weather while you guys were down here sweltering in the heat. So they were on their vacation. You look at the slides and they're all jumping around having fun. But that's not truly what missions is all about. It's about people. It's about spending time with people. And these kids coming up there spending time. And I was thinking from this time that they came up and the first time they came up, and we got some victims from the first time that came up. Dawn, I'm looking at Dawn, and and she suffered on that first trip. But I know that's where God wanted her to be, because God had to teach her lessons. I'm picking on you, Dawn, but but just the fact that Dawn gave up a lot to come up there and to be a part of it. As we look at our text, it talks about, in verse 12, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, Paul puts those all together, of course, starting with the precious, going right down to the worthless. We're all building on a foundation. Paul had built the foundation as the master craftsman that he calls himself, the master carpenter. He had built the foundation. Apollos was now building on that foundation. But everyone in that church had to build on that foundation. And what were they using to build with? Now, I'm not going to be judgmental, because the Bible says on that day it will be judged as to what was what, whether it was wood, hay, gold, silver, what it was. And we know what happens when each of those elements goes through the fire, which one's going to survive. On our missions trip, we had 15 people that came up. And I'm including the adults that came up with them. And each one of them had a role that God wanted them to play. But the question is, what was that role that they played? Was that a golden role? Or was that a wooden roll? And how do you know? How do you know where that is? How do you know what you're building with? And when I go out and I do things for God, and I'm speaking for you guys, not just myself, but when we go out and do things for God, is that a wooden roll or a golden roll? Are we making things that are going to last, or are they just going to get burned up? So let's go a little further in 1 Corinthians, and let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And of course, most of you are familiar that that's the love passage, but I just want to look at the first few verses. And they do go together, what we learned in chapter 3 and now in verse 13. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Wood, hay, and straw. That first trip when the team went up 4 years ago, there was a lot of production, a lot of preparation, a lot of things that went into it. And one of the things I told them, if you can't love these kids, it's not going to work. You may have a program, and you may have an idea, and you may have a plan right down to the last second of how that thing's going to pull off. But if you don't have love for these kids, it's not going to work. Wood, hay, and stubble. The difference is love. And when you look at the Ten Commandments, all those thou shalt not bit, it has a lot to do with love. And that's why Jesus said the greatest of the commandments is to love God. And we can go with Joshua and love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, with everything. And then Jesus said the second commandment is like the first. Love one another. And we could also say that Jesus says no greater love is this than a man lay down his life for his friend. What's the gold, silver, and precious stones? It comes down to love. And I'll tell you what, you could do everything backwards, you can do everything wrong, you can go in Kujarpik and use all the wrong words and all the wrong things and make all the wrong gestures. But if you have love, that covers up all the mistakes. As missionaries, we go in and we're under a program. We're under, you know, they like to come up with a formula. This is the best way to reach people. And you got to use this, this, and this, and take them down these rules. And our mission's trying to do that on us. They're trying to come up with these guidelines to how to set up. But you want to know something? It's not our ministry. It's not our field. It's God's ministry. And it's God's field. And we know that God can do things so much better than we can. And sometimes I wonder why he bothers spending time with us when he could just say, get out of the way and let me get this done. But yet God loves us just as you love your children and you want to teach them how to do things. And maybe they don't do it right, but you enjoy what they're doing anyways, whether it's right or wrong. You enjoy working with them. And God, who is perfect, loves us with a perfect love, and he wants to spend time with us. I don't know of any parent that would say, oh, yeah, I raised these kids and I fed them and I took care of them, but I don't care what they do anymore. Just get them out of the way so I can get the rest of my life done with. It's not a very good parent. And yet God, who is our perfect parent, takes care of us perfectly, and he does want to work with us and through us. And the one thing that these kids have learned, your kids coming up there, is how great God really is. How God does open the Red Seas of our trip. And how he does work things out. And even though sometimes we see Satan pulling kids away and taking them off to different places, the ones that come are the ones that God has brought. And like we've been trying to get kids to come down to camp. And we were hoping for 7. And we had 7. We had more than 7. But in the end, we have 4. And I have to say, God, these are the 4 you want. And Raymond, I'm going to pick on you. You remember what you said when you got in the van? We're leaving Le Grand? He doesn't remember. Good kid. He said, we are the chosen. We're the chosen ones. Boy, if that doesn't speak volumes. Now, teenagers that went on that trip, I have not forgotten you guys. But my question is, how many of you guys built that trip with gold, silver, and precious stones? And how many of you went up there with wood, hay, and stubble? Did you really show love to those kids, or did you just go through the motions? Did you really think that I'll just go and I'll just sort of follow along with everyone else and I'll just sort of do what I have to do and have a good week up there and then hurry up and get back home? And Wally said it nicely when he said, when I got on that plane and we went up through the clouds, and the clouds came on very quickly. We had a lot of overcast days, but the town disappeared very quickly. But what are you leaving behind? Can you truly go back to Timmins and really feel good about leaving what you leave behind? And that's tough, because you have spent a part of your life and you've poured your love into these kids. And there are times that you have to leave, and there are times you have to go, and who knows whether the team will be back up next year. Who knows if what may come before next year, and maybe that might have been the last time. But don't forget, it's God's ministry. And even though you may not be able to come back next year, teenagers or adults, doesn't mean that God has given up on his work. It's God's work, and if he's not using you there, he'll use you somewhere else. Right, Joe? And that's Joe who has had to stay behind. And you know, that was hard for Joe. And a lot of you know Joe really wanted to be part of the team. But it wasn't what God wanted. And that's hard too, when you know what God wants, and you know what you want, and those things don't always go together. But we have to let go and let God be our guide. Now, for you adults and those that didn't go, a lot of you were on that team too, because there was a lot of prayers given up by you guys. Did you pray out of love, or did you pray because you felt you had to? Not saying that God didn't poke your heart to say, hey, pray for that team. But I'm talking about, oh, well, I'll pray for them that way. When people ask me if I prayed for them. That's wood, hay, and stubble. But when you have love for those kids and you want to see God's work being going through and your love for God, when you prayed for those people, that's gold, silver, and precious stone. Pray when you didn't have to. Pray because you loved. It's all of us together, and because we have different churches here together this morning, we're all together, not as a show of who's where and who's in what church, but we're together because we love God, and we want him to be honored. We want him to see the glory being given to. So think about your life this week and what you're going to do, and whatever you do for God, make sure you're doing it out of love for God and not because it's the thing to do or it's what other people expect you to do. But be sure it's love. That's the one thing that I taught to the kids. And now when they come, it's love. If you saw these kids and how much they are harassed and handled by the kids, right, Solomon? It's a lot of work. And to reach out, and when I have to tell the teenagers to leave the kids behind, don't let the kids come in, that's hard. But there has to be time where they have to be away from the kids. But that's what it should be like for us when God says, okay, Dave, time to step back. Time to take away from this right now. It's hard, but it's love. And love is hard. Let's think about our lives, and let's think about what we're building with this week as we go and serve God. Let's remember to take the gold and the silver and the precious stones, and let's put them together with love. First, love for God, and second, love for others. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for, again, your mercies toward us and your love for us. And Lord, as we recognize the love that you've given to us and as we pour that out into other people's lives, may we be reminded that it is your love that we're showing, because our love is based on our own selfish pride, our own pity, and our own glorification. Give us wisdom, Lord. Help us to start building with your precious stones, your silver and your gold. Help us to look to you, to what we should be doing and how we should be reacting to the situations that go around before us. Teach us to love. Teach us to love you. And teach us to love each other. And most importantly, Lord, we just pray that our lives would be living sacrifices in your hands, willing to do what you've asked us to do, and ready to take whatever you give to us, and that we would rejoice. In Jesus' name, amen.